everybody. Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. We are here today to break down the Bengals schedule that came out last night. NFL teams found out where, when, and who they would be playing in the upcoming season. We'll also get to some other news items around this Bengals team. Now that the draft is in the rearview mirror, right now the Bengals are focused on the offseason program, so we'll get to what's been going on there. But let's start with the schedule. As I mentioned, teams found out yesterday on Wednesday what their schedule is going to look like. They've known who their opponents are going to be for months now. That gets finalized after the season. But the schedule really brings everything full circle in terms of the organization can start planning hotels, flights, and then the coaches from there can plan some of the things that they need to get ahead of in terms of preparing for those stretches where it's going to be very grueling on the players, and they can really get a look at what that season is going to look like and what's going to be needed for them to be the most successful. I have an analysis piece up on Cincinnati.com that I encourage readers and listeners to check out if you want to know more about the Bengals schedule, but I'll hit on a couple of items right here. So for me, when I looked at the Bengals schedule, a few things stood out. I will start with the Thanksgiving game. The Bengals will be traveling to Baltimore to play the Ravens on Thanksgiving night, the primetime NBC game. It is an honor for teams like the Bengals to be selected to play on Thanksgiving. And it's a testament to what the league thinks of Joe Burrow, the Bengals, and the matchup against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And that matchup has been very entertaining the last couple of years, specifically on Thursday Night Football. This marks the third time the Bengals will travel to Baltimore on a short week for Thursday Night Football. I know that for the Bengals, that's definitely a disadvantage because the NFL road team that has to play on Thursday night, it's more challenging for them. They have less time to prepare and get their bodies ready to go because they have to travel the day before. So for the Bengals to have to do that 3 years in a row, I totally understand why they probably are not thrilled about that. But it's an opportunity to play on the biggest stage and play on Thanksgiving and really show that, you know, the last couple of matchups against the Ravens haven't gone in the Bengals' favor. And perhaps this could be the moment where things really click for the Bengals and they have this awesome showing on Thanksgiving night. And you're watching Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase eat those turkey legs on that stage that you've seen. But regardless, it's a really cool thing for the Bengals to be featured on Thanksgiving. And I know a lot of Bengals fans are going to be excited about that post turkey nap game. So everybody will have time to eat with their families, play football out in the yard, do all the things that everyone likes to do on Thanksgiving, and then get all settled in and watch what's I expect to be a great game between the Bengals and the Ravens. So that stood out to me first, that Thanksgiving game in Baltimore on Thursday night. The other thing that really stood out to me when I looked at the full schedule was the stretch that happened starting with the Thanksgiving game in Baltimore, but that stretch between weeks 13 and 15. The Bengals play the Ravens on the road, then the Buffalo Bills on the road in the first week of December, and then they come back and play the Ravens again at home. To play your biggest division threat two times in 3 weeks is tough. And then you mix in a game against arguably one of the top three teams in the AFC with Josh Allen in Buffalo in upstate New York, where you don't know what the weather could be. It could be a snowstorm or it could be perfectly fine weather in New York. You just don't know. And that stretch right there, I think, is what's going to tell the story of the Bengals season in terms of their postseason fate, only if they don't sink themselves in the month of September. The Bengals, obviously, everyone knows, have struggled in the month of September. We're not breaking news here by talking about that. Zach Taylor's record speaks for itself in weeks one and weeks two, and that absolutely needs to change. Everyone in the organization has touched on it from the end of last season to now. They have got to get off to a faster start. This team cannot continue to climb out of 0-3, 1-3 holes and think that they can not just make the playoffs, host playoff games, be a 1 or 2 seed in the AFC, and really put themselves in a position to control their own destiny to some degree. And so the reason I say that week 13 to 15 stretch is only going to tell the story of their season, because if they start 1-2 or 0-2, then that is going to tell, in my opinion, probably tell the story of their season. Because if they do that again, it's going to be challenging when you look at their schedule to find a way into the postseason once again. So let's talk about the month of September with the Bengals. They open the season on the road in Cleveland and face the Browns. Then they come back and host the Jacksonville Jaguars before a trip to Minnesota to play the Vikings. And then they cap off the month of September with a Monday night football game against the Denver Broncos in Denver. And when I look at those four games, I think that it's not unreasonable to think that the Bengals cannot go 3-1 in that stretch if the Bengals that you see in December decide to show up in September. If the offense is clicking on all cylinders like they usually do later on in the season, if they can get that going in September and the defense has some things figured out and Trey Hendrickson is playing and they're playing better under Al Golden on defense, there's no reason to think that they shouldn't beat the quarterback-less Cleveland Browns right now. We don't know who's going to win that battle. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I expect to be better with Liam Cohen, but I still think that they're maybe a year or two away in terms of talent. And then the Vikings. Yes, the Vikings were very good last year, but anytime Joe Burrow is going up against a quarterback that hasn't proven himself like J.J. McCarthy, I'm always going to give the Bengals the advantage, because Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins alone against J.J. McCarthy's basically going to be a rookie this next season because he missed his entire rookie season with an injury. I'm going to pick the Bengals. Yes, U.S. Bank Stadium is very hard to play at. Minnesota is, if you haven't been there, it's up there in terms of one or two in terms of most challenging places to play in the NFL. It is so loud. It's a dome. It's very hard on the opposing team. The Vikings are also a very good team, but the Bengals have actually played really well against Brian Flores' defense in the last couple of years. So those three games, in my opinion, 100% winnable for the Bengals if they show up and play the way that they are capable of playing. Then that Denver game, I expect that one to be a challenging game. The Broncos have a really good defense. I think they're going to be a lot better this year with Bo Nix now having a year under his belt. If you lose that game on Monday Night Football, a road game, that's no big deal, because you've, for the most part, done what you haven't been able to do in years, and that is take care of your business in September. If the Bengals are able to do that, even if they're 2-2 at the end of September, that is going to bode well for them, because that stretch in October where they play the Lions, the Packers, the Steelers, those are going to be some challenging games. So stack wins where you can in September, and you'll really be able to give yourself a chance when it matters most. Some other things that stood out to me on the Bengals schedule was, I just mentioned it, a road trip to Green Bay. The Bengals have not played the Packers in Green Bay since 2017. And obviously, Lambeau Field and everything that surrounds the Packers is iconic. And I imagine that being a game that a lot of Bengals fans want to travel to, the opportunity to go see Lambeau Field and watch the Bengals play. I also just think it's going to be a good matchup between Joe Burrow and Jordan Love. And the last time the Bengals played the Packers here in Cincinnati, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, but it was a very interesting matchup. I think the Packers are a really good team in the NFC, and I expect the Bengals to be a really good team. And I think that will be a matchup where it goes down to the wire. And I love the opportunity to go see that game in October when it's not snowing, and you won't have any of like those excuses. Oh, well, the weather played a factor in the game with the snow and all of that. So the Bengals getting to go to Green Bay in October, in my opinion, is a significant win for the team. And I'm looking forward to that matchup. I also have in my story what I call the sneaky interesting game that I think will play a role at the end of the season. And that is the Bengals Sunday night game against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are a team that I have so many questions about, but when they are clicking, they're a good team under Mike McDaniel. When Tua Tagovailoa is healthy and on the field, they have proven to be a threat. With that being said, the Bengals have had their number in recent years, but I think the Dolphins are going to be better this year. And I think they might be one of those teams where if the Bengals don't take care of business, or, you know, Baltimore just, you know, is awesome this year, that if Cincinnati's fighting for one of those wild card spots, I could see Miami being in the mix this year. And as you know, head to head record is one of the playoff implications in terms of if two teams have the same record, the team with the better head to head record gets in. So I think that game is going to be really important for the Bengals. Also, I expect it to be an exciting matchup, Sunday Night Football in South Florida in December, another game that I imagine Bengals fans will probably go right before Christmas. So that's one that I have my eye on that we might not talk a lot about because the Dolphins are just kind of a team. Nobody really knows what to expect from them. I have my eye on that one as one that I think that we're gonna get to middle of December and say that's a really important game for the Bengals to win, just purely based off AFC standings. Some other notes: no international games for the Bengals. There was a thought that they were going to play in Spain. That rumor didn't prove to be true. So you can expect the Bengals to 100% host a game in internationally overseas in 2027. They could still go as a road team next year. That's still an option. But if you're wondering when you can fully expect a home game to be overseas, it's going to be 2027 because it didn't happen this year. Some other parts of the schedule that stood out to me, I think that the Bengals getting a Thursday night game against Pittsburgh, I think that's going to be a fun environment for Cincinnati. Those Thursday night games have been, I know, having been here and seen the fan environment, really fun. But I think having a division rival be there on Thursday night, I think that's going to be a good one. And then lastly, to close out the season with two home games, I think that's a huge benefit for the Bengals to not have to travel. Last year, they were just, their travel schedule with the amount of road primetime games, it was a gauntlet. And so I think that they, if they can take care of business, their schedule sets up nice for them to be able to get through the hardest parts of the schedule, and then closing out the season against the Arizona Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns, I think 100% sets up well for them if they are in a situation where they have to win those final two games to get into the playoffs. All right, that is it for my thoughts on the schedule. If you want to read more about it, check out Cincinnati.com. We have plenty of articles on that, but looking forward to Thanksgiving in Baltimore and the opportunity to watch the Bengals play on arguably the biggest football day of the year. So let's just hit on a couple of news items. Trey Hendrickson, that's the story this week besides the schedule. To recap what happened, Trey Hendrickson, I've talked about it on this podcast a lot, has been at a standstill with the Bengals for the last couple of months after not being able to agree on a contract extension. So far, he has been away from the team. He has not reported to any of the voluntary minicamp workouts. And on Tuesday, he showed up, to surprise of everyone in the organization and the media. He showed up on the one day a week that the media gets to go to practice, and he did it with a reason. He wanted to be seen on the practice field, and he wanted an opportunity to talk to the media and give his side of the story, because he felt like there were narratives out there about him that weren't correct, and he wanted to set the record straight. This all happened because of a text exchange with head coach Zach Taylor. He didn't want to get into too much details, but said that he received a text from Zach Taylor that threatened to fine him if he doesn't show up for mandatory minicamp in June. He took that as a sign that the organization wasn't really interested or didn't believe that they would get anything done with him in the next 30 days. So they're already threatening to fine him. That didn't sit well with him. He continues to say how disappointed he is in his lack of communication with the Bengals. And he wanted to make sure that he said that he is not going to play this upcoming season on his current contract, and that he never promised the Bengals that they would get a first round pick in return from him if they did trade him. So there was a lot there that Trey had to say, but you could tell how much this is wearing on him and how emotional he is about it. Trey Hendrickson is a football player. He wants to be on the field with his teammates right now. It's very important to him. He takes it very seriously. If you ask anyone in the Bengals organization, he's one of the most diligent when it comes to body maintenance, making sure he is at the top of his game every Sunday. And a lot of that has to do with what he does in the days leading up to it. Everybody knows how important it is. And it's got to be killing him to not be able to be out there and do what he loves. And it's a decision that he's decided to make. And you can argue that is it the right decision to have gone about it the way he has with, you know, so much public animosity? He's hurt. And so I think that there should be some grace here before, you know, everyone wants to comment on how Trey has handled this situation. He's very emotional and it's very important to him, as I mentioned, and he is hurt by the way he believes the organization has made him feel. He doesn't feel valued at the highest level, and he doesn't feel it's matched the production that he's given this team. And he has every right to feel that. Trey has been he's been the best defensive player on this team for the last 2 years, but he's been one of the best edge rushers in the NFL for the last couple of years. So his emotions are warranted. I've gone through both sides, that the Bengals have their side of things, and they have made an offer to him at various points this offseason. They just haven't been able to agree on what the structure of that contract looks like. That was another thing Trey Hendrickson said. Right now, the main disagreement between Trey and the Bengals is the amount of years that the team is willing to give him and the amount of years that Trey wants up front. And that's where I'm going to leave this conversation. In order for this to get resolved, which I don't anticipate it getting resolved until late July, because that's typically how things go in Cincinnati. Unless there's a deadline, there's really no urgency to get anything done. We've seen in years past, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase was a different story, but that needed to happen for them to know what they could do in free agency, et cetera. So that's a different scenario. But whether it be Jesse Bates, you know, things like that, July tends to be when things start happening. I think that for both sides to get a deal done, there's going to have to be compromise here. I think that the Bengals are going to have to give Trey more money than they have at this point. I also think Trey is probably going to have to make a compromise on his end, whether it be money or years. But to think that the Bengals are just going to completely come in with this offer that they've never given him, I don't think is going to happen. I would think that they would come in with their one last solid attempt to sign him, and I anticipate that being more than what they've given him to this point. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, anything crazy that's going to make Trey feel that much better. So it's going to be on him to some degree to really look at this and say, are there one or two things in this current contract structure that if we can get these two things solved, then I am willing to sign this deal, put this all behind me, and go play football for the next 2-3 years in Cincinnati with none of this hanging over my head. There needs to be compromise on both ends. And where I think things could really help is better communication on both sides. I think the Bengals need to make more of an effort to make Trey feel better about his situation. And so much of that in my opinion, can be solved, which is better communication. And Trey also has obligations. He's under contract and he's a part of a team. And I'll tell you, like, coming on Tuesday and causing that type of distraction, it's only the first step in this, because it is a distraction. There were players that noticed and were staring, and there were players that said things in the locker room after, you know, wanting to know what Trey said and things like that. And it's just all stuff that this team doesn't need if they're going to try and get off to a fast start in September. So I do think that this will all come together at some point this summer. I don't anticipate it right now, but I think it's going to take compromise on both sides. And right now it's kind of a staring contest and neither side really wants to compromise, but we will see. All right. That is it for the biggest news of the Bengals this week. And we will be back as the offseason goes. Next week, Joe Burrow is scheduled to talk to the media. So we will catch up with him for the first time this offseason. And I'll bring you all the latest from what he has to say next week. All right. Have a great weekend.